Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this snowy Friday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. As we continue the Titans talk, now we bring in our favorite forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders, who is online with us. Chris, good morning. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Just trying to look at all this crazy snow. And the crazy part about it is I'm from Denver, Colorado, so this ain't nothing.
Oh, yeah. I would think you're used to this.
It is, man.
Before we yes. before we get to the, you know, Rand Carthon and the GM search yeah. and everything, you have you're able to say that you played football and had your plays called by the great Mike Keith, who announced yesterday he's going to Tennessee after being the voice of the Titans for almost 27 years. He was, and, you know, and obviously you played in Houston, so there were other guys, but
right.
he truly was that narrator of the Titans story,
yes.
not just calling the plays. How important was that, especially in the early days, to have a guy like that to tell the story that you guys were trying to tell on the football
Man.
Field?
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, the one thing I love about Mike Keith is he always brought energy. He always brought excitement. And the one that I really love that he talked about the most is that year where Neil O'Donnell was in the game. He gets hurt, and Matt comes in, and he throws it to a guy named Chris Sanders, and then they throw it to Aaron Kinney, and they win the touchdown. But the energy that he brought, the way he told the story, the way he spoke with just the enthusiasm to draw people in. So, you know, he's going to be a guy that's really, really missed because not just – he was a great storyteller, but just the energy and his love and everything that he did. And sometimes when I'm watching the Tennessee Titans games at home, I mean, just kind of listen to him. I actually had a chance to not just hear him speak, but to learn how he spoke and what he saw. So he's a great asset to me, and I'm not just saying it because he's going to the Vols.
So what were your thoughts? Rand Carthon showed the door as the Titans general manager. look, I wasn't surprised, but like I know that, you know, you and Derek and Jared have had quite the discussions on the pregame show.
Sure.
So when the news came out, what were your thoughts?
You know, I want to say this. I want to make this clear. I love my Tennessee Titans, Houston Oilers / Titans. I love them, and, you know, I play for them. I bled for them, so I love them. And I say this with the utmost respect because I respect the organization. I'm just a little disappointed on how it was done. And I'm going to tell you why. Because on April 23rd, you know, when no disrespect, when Mr. Brinker, you know, had his conference, he said, everything we do it all together. So now when you go into the draft picks, you draft all these guys, and you go to free agency, you get a Woozy, you get Snead, you guys done it all together. But then why is only one guy been getting blamed for everything? And I just in that aspect, I just don't think it's fair because and now all of a sudden, you know, no disrespect, but you're coming out and you're saying all these things that he didn't do. He's sleeping on the plane. He's not this and he's not that. So if you thought he was that before, then why would you hire him? So I just think that if you just want to have a clean cut from him, just say we're going a different direction. But when you start pointing out stuff like, oh, he's sleeping on the plane, let me tell you something. I've been on a plane with a whole bunch of coaches. Nobody's sitting there grading film right after the game. That's the time that a lot of the coaches get their rest. I wouldn't either. Why? I mean, only person that did that who was absolutely crazy was Peyton Manning. I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah.
He just loves it. But, God, people don't understand the work that goes into it. All during the week, you got coaches that sleep in their office. So when they're on the plane, that's a time for them to unwind for an hour and 30 minutes because after they get off the plane, they got to go back to the facilities and grade film. So I just think that do it in the right way. That's all that I'm saying.
All I will say with that, Peyton Manning went to four Super Bowls. So I'm just telling you that, right?
No, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
But as I told Chase yesterday, Chris, I mean, when you watch this football team play the last 2 years, the last thing I want to see on a plane is the crappy football team I just watched for 3 hours on the field. Give me a break for a little bit. That's to me, somebody ratted on him. That's nonsense.
That's what I did in ninth grade
to my friends. It's embarrassing. Amy Adams should be embarrassed that this is out.
But you know what hurts me the most is because every coach and every player at the beginning of the season, they say we're a family. They say we're a team. They say we're this. Are we just saying it only when things go good that we're a family? So when things go wrong, if we lose as a family, then we lose as a family. But when you start pointing things, he did it. That's not what you're doing. And I'm gonna share this with you guys. I coach at Montgomery Bell Academy, and I have a great coach named Marty Everard. And this is what he said, and this is why I love him so much. He said, if we don't have it right in this meeting room, how do we expect to have the team to have it right? So now you don't have it right upstairs, then how you expect the team to be in unison when upstairs you don't have it in unison? So that's kind of what I'm just kind of a little disappointed. I love my organization, but we just got to do things better.
Well, that being said, I mean, are you, as a former player, just a little embarrassed about what this has turned into? Because right now it's the worst football team and worst franchise in the National Football League.
It is, and it's disappointing to me because I've been in that locker room, I've been in that facility, and I've been on a team where we love each other. I've been on a team where, you know, the coaches got along, and you're just looking at a situation to where, you know, the coaches, you know, not coaches, but the organization, it seemed like they like each other, they love each other, but then when things come out, they actually didn't. So I still love my Titans, but I'm just a little disappointed of what's happening, and people blaming this, and he's doing that, and talking about each other's mamas, and what the heck is going on? We just gotta get better because I love my blue and white, so it's just a little disappointing.
Chris Sanders is with us talking about the Tennessee Titans. So what's next for Brian Callahan? Because I do worry with all this change with him that. You know, he's a little bit, to use the analogy, dead man walking. But I want him to be successful. I do think he needs to make some changes on his coaching staff, which is hard. So what do you want to see next from him?
You know, I mean, first of all, I mean, winning cures everything. I mean, we talk about that all the time. I just want him to come out and give a clear vision on where we're going. And when I say have a clear vision, what's step one, what's step two, what's step three, and what's step four? And once he does that, then he gets, you know, I know you got to make some changes in the coaching staff, and nobody likes that. Get some coaches in here that are going to be adapted to your vision on where you're going. So the one thing I want to see from Brian Callahan is just, you know, make sure he has a clean-cut vision, make sure he knows where he's going, and build the identity of this team. Because if I ask you guys a question, what is the identity of this team? We don't know because there's so many things and so many pieces that are going wrong. So to answer your question is have a vision and a plan and an identity going forward from now on.
Yep, and we'll see if they can do that. It's going to be certainly interesting to watch, Chris, because it's a soap opera. Man. That's what this is right now.
I just got done watching Days of Our Lives. I mean, I'm like, dang, is this the Titans thing going on? I mean,
you ain't watched no Days of Our Lives.
What? As the world turns, are you kidding me? I grew up.
I actually believe he is. What time does Judge Judy come on? That's
no,
next.
No. No, and actually, I moved from Judge Judy. I went from Family Feud, and before that, I was watching, you know, the Golden Bachelorette. It was the best. No, yeah, I love that show too. But Golden Bachelorette is off, so now I'm watching Family Feud. I'm a Family Feud guy.
Oh. Let me ask you this, Chris, real quick. Sure. One more football question. Did you watch the game last night?
Man, that game was beautiful. Lord have mercy.
Would you take Abdul Carter first overall?
Yes. Woo. You know, and you know the reason why I would take him is because he's not just a player. He impacts the whole game. He changes, you know, every scenario of the game. Let's say it's like third and five, and you need somebody to step up and make him play. He's consistently there. So just imagine. I mean, just imagine this. Him, you know, Arden Key, Jeffrey Simmons, and Sweat, and you bring that big dog. He will make a lot of offenses scary because just his impact alone on the field could bring dangers to a quarterback.
I don't want to disagree with you. I don't think he's big enough. And NFL, you know this. Irv Eatman was a big man. He ain't getting around Irv Eatman. He ain't getting around Irv Eatman, right? Am I wrong about? I mean, Irv Eatman had to reach hell. He could reach you 20 feet away.
Yeah, but he had bad feet though. I mean, it's like he wore a size 26 and he couldn't move. I mean, he was big and strong, but he could get a paws on you. But I'm telling you, that kid, especially, I agree, he's not as big for his position, but man, the energy and the excitement and he's always around the ball. He just, man, I'm telling you something, I wouldn't be disappointed if they got that cat.
I just think if I see him in a one-on-one drill, I don't think he is doing what he's a lot of misdirection, and he goes underneath and the stunts. Yeah. That's fine, but beating somebody one-on-one at the National Football League, I got to see it. I just don't think, I'm not sold on it, man.
But the positions change, though, Joe.
But we always talk about speed kills. That kid at his position is very, very fast. He's just as fast as you, Big Joe.
Nobody's that fast.
Yeah, I just think the game has changed and
it's changed big time.
You know, pass rush, you need more speed. And yeah, he's not as big, but I think he's fast. Yeah. Ooh, here's what I'll say: whoever they take number one overall, or if they trade, just get a dude. Just get somebody that can change the game. And if you think that's Travis Hunter, if you think that's Abdul Carter, if you think that's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, be 100% sure and then live with it. But go get a game changer.
Here's the thing, Chase. If they stay at number one in draft, he better be a Hall of Famer. He better go to the Pro Bowl each and every year, because if you get him and stay at number one and he doesn't pan out, now we're back to square one again about talking about each other. So get a guy. Get somebody in here that's going to change the whole culture of this Tennessee Titans organization. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Let me ask you this. Aaron Rodgers is not going to give up football. Would you be okay with a bridge quarterback for 2 years here to let somebody –
He's shutting it down real quick.
Oh, you know why? Because here's the thing. It's like, and I'm talking about the football player, not talking about the guy. But you have a situation to where when everything's good, you high fiving people, but then all of a sudden you throw an interception or a guy running around, and you throw him under the bus. You already got a situation to where people are being thrown under the bus right now. Why would you add another guy to that bus to throw some other people under the bus? I love his play. But I don't love what he does to his teammates, and I'm good.
I mean, I'll give you that, and but if you come with the mindset, and look, he knows Chad Brinker. They know each other very, very, very well for the time with the Packers. Say, look, you're gonna come in here. We're gonna get a quarterback. They're gonna mentor him. That's your job. Can you help me out? Give me 2 years. Mm-hmm. Look, Chris, it can't be any worse. You have the worst team in football. The worst team. If it's going to be a circus, give me another clown. Bring another clown in so I can laugh. Entertain me.
Okay. Just imagine this. I'm going to give you the scenario.
All right.
Just imagine if Brian Callahan says, I want you to throw the side adjust. And what's the name? And Aaron Rodgers is like, man, I'm going to do what I want to do. Oh, that ain't going to work. He already did that when he was with the Jets. The Jets tell him that he needs to do such and such. He's like, man, I'm going to do what I want to do. You think Brian Callahan's going to be there long if that situation it goes to disarray? It's going to be even worse. Even worse.
Oh, I'm here for it, though, man. I'm here for it. I would love to say it. But, you know, my thing has always been, what if it turns out better than you thought?
That's a great point.
We don't know.
But we always talk about track records, right?
Yeah, we do. You're right.
Wherever he goes, he goes. And listen, I'm not disrespecting the man. I'm talking about the football player, so I want to be careful. But wherever he goes, it's always, he did it. He did it. I don't want to hear it. I want to say, you know what? We did it, and let's go win some ball games.
There you go.
Chris, before we let you go.
Sure.
As a Titans alumni, as an Oilers alumni, as somebody that's been connected to this franchise, you know, your whole career, how do you view this right now? Is someone that, you know, you hear the fan base that's upset and they don't trust the owner and they don't like the move she's made.
Right.
You know,
right.
I know you. You're a passionate person. I have to imagine that kind of hurts your heart a little bit, that people have this negative view of the franchise.
It does hurt my feelings, and that's a great question that you ask, because you know I'm a part of that legacy, and when you're a part of that legacy, and when you go into the gym and when you go to the gas station, you keep hearing all these snickering words. Oh, they suck. They're this and they're that. So it hurts me. I want to see the organization that I play for be successful. So when I hear those negative things, when I hear stuff on the radio, and then national wise, that people are talking about, it's like we're just the scum of the earth. I mean, it does break your heart, because this is a part of a team that I went to the Super Bowl. This was a team to where we had Blaine Bishop, Marcus Robinson, Eddie George, Steve McNair, you know, Lorenzo Neal, Kevin Dyson, Derek Mason. We had all these guys that love their franchise, but then you got people around the country that are looking at us like we're the laughing stock of the league, and it just breaks my stinking heart. So it's tough to swallow, but at the end of the day, here's what I'll do. If I'm the owner, I will gather everybody up in the room, and I will say, you know what? I want you to put all your pride on the table and and let's figure out this thing together as a team, as a general manager, as a owner, as a position coach. Let's work together as a family. But here's the thing, and I'm going to leave you with this. Let's let's just don't talk about it. Let's be intentional about doing it. And if they can be intentional about doing this, then you can turn this ship right around and do something great.
Preach, my man. Real quick, I got a Frank Wycheck's brother, Teddy, listens to us every day. We love you, Teddy. He says, too. Hey, I heard you talk about Irv Eatman. A funny story that Frankie told me one time about Irv Eatman. They went out to eat, and Frank told Irv that a huge bowl of queso was soup, and Irv downed every bit of the queso.
Oh my God.
For those that don't know, I'm looking at Irv Eatman, 6'7", 300.
Woo!
Big man. Oh. Frank tells him that queso is soup. Irv down every bit of it. I bet you Irv didn't go to the bathroom for 6 months after that.
No, I wouldn't be there when it happens, though, because I'll be scared.
No.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic.
Oh,
Chris,
my God.
Great stuff. Great stuff as
Love
always,
you guys
my man.
So much.
We'll,
thank you,
we'll
fellas.
Talk.
Appreciate
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys.
We'll talk next week.
I won the Silly Dog Underpick. I just wanted to announce that. Thank you. Sorry.
Sorry, you broke up there. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Love you too, Chris.
Bye-bye. Congratulations to him for winning Silly Underdogs, for sure. A lot to unpack there. We'll continue the discussion coming up next, including more facts about Irv Eatman. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.